Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. We are one day away from Packers-Lions, the first game of the regular season. It always just feels a little bit more important, a little bit more special. We've been wanting and waiting. It's been 7+ months, and now we finally get it. And I cannot wait another day. It feels still forever away, even though it's just tomorrow. But the anticipation is part of the fun as well. And like I said, we have just over a day away, and maybe less than a day away as you're listening to this, before we get that first game of the season. It's going to be a ton of fun. We've got a really fun episode today. A lot of people have been asking me, Andy, are the Packers legitimate Super Bowl contenders? Can they win it all? Do you think they have the opportunity? Anything in that vein, right? And the answer is yes. I do think they can. Whether they will or not, that's the fun of the journey. But I do think they are in that conversation. I think they're in the short list of teams that have a real legitimate chance to win it all. And I think in order to win it all, some things are going to have to go right. And today I'm going to put together that checklist, things that you can kind of check throughout the season. If they are happening, they have a real, real chance to win it. If not, it's going to be a lot more difficult. So we're going to get through that checklist today. Before we get there, shout out new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members: Braden Fielding, Dennis Lambert, Michael Whitehead, Carter Mankey, Stephen Kissinger, and Macaulay Productions. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Today is a great day to check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships. Also, we've got our injury report presented by Habish Habish and Rotier. Elton Jenkins and Jordan Love were full participants in practice. That is huge news. Now, Jordan, we still have to figure out what he's going to be able to do from a handing off standpoint. Sounds like under center is going to be good to go. All the throwing is going to be good to go. But is he going to be able to hand off the way that he wants to? I don't know how much that's ultimately going to affect too much. Hopefully he's just good to go and he can hand it off the way that he wants to. There's no risk of re-injury. It's not going to get banged around too much, but that will definitely be one piece to keep an eye on early in the game on Sunday against Detroit. Elton being out there is massive. To me, that is the center that you've wanted after a sort of, you know, roller coaster of an offseason with Elton, of moving him to center. Then is there going to be a holdout? Is there not going to be a holdout? Is there going to be a hold in? And then he shows up at camp. He's good to go. And then he has some injury issues here and there, but he's good to go. He was the player that you really wanted at center, taking over for Josh Myers. That has the ability to be a huge upgrade. I think that solidifies the entire interior of that offensive line. That's huge. Elton's going to be good to go. And of course, Jordan's going to be good to go. All players who are questionable practiced, which is a great sign. But the players who are questionable include Zane Anderson, Nate Hobbs, Micah Parsons, Jaden Reed, Baron Sorrell, Dontavian Wicks, and Savion Williams. If I had to predict going through this, Zane Anderson, I don't have a great feel for. He could play, he might not play, he could be a healthy scratch. I'm assuming if he's healthy, he's going to be active for special teams purposes, but not one that we're losing a ton of sleep over, right? Nate Hobbs is the big questionable one. Could probably go either way. He practiced back-to-back days. That's usually a good sign. My guess is he gives it a go. Micah Parsons is playing. Jaden Reed is the interesting one. He clearly is banged up. I think they're going to give him a chance in this one, though. I think his opportunities might be limited. I think he maybe doesn't get the full helping of snaps that he normally would if he was healthy. But my guess is they give him some opportunity to play in this game. Baron Sorrell, this is a tough one. Whether he's good enough to go, does he get active? Are you good with four defensive ends? Do you maybe call up Aaron Mosby to be the fifth defensive end, but also help you on special teams? I think that one's going to be a little bit interesting. My guess is Wicks plays. Savion Williams is, in my opinion, going to be a healthy scratch one way or the other. I think just with the injuries, plus with all the time that he's missed, I think you either call up Mecole Hardman to be another wide receiver active for the game, plus be the punt returner, or they just go with Malik Heath, who's a little bit better of a blocker. You probably don't need Savion quite as much. It's not impossible that Savion could be active, but if I had to guess, my guess is he would be inactive for this game. But the great news again is that everyone practiced for Green Bay on Friday, which is a huge sign for the health going into this game against Detroit. As far as the Lions go, Jamarco Jones, Trevor Nowoski and Sione Vakai are all out for this game. Everyone else is good to go for Detroit. We did have one game on Friday night, Chiefs-Chargers. I didn't get to watch this one super close. My sons had soccer practice. I was watching on my phone a little bit as they were practicing. Then I had some transportation stuff. Then I finally got home, got to watch the end of it. Did see the Chargers kind of seal it. But overall, I thought just a statement game from the Chargers. The Chiefs just haven't entirely looked right for, I would say, a few seasons now, which is saying something because they're still a really, really good football team. Just it just feels offensively like they can't ever really kick it into that gear that they used to kick it into. I talk about this like a decent amount, but do you guys remember? I want you to think, I've brought this up before, so some of you may know this already. I want you to think in your head what you think Patrick Mahomes' stats were in his initial season as a starting quarterback. All right, so his very first year as a starting quarterback in the NFL, what were his stats? I'm going to give you a second. His first year, of course, he was 22 of 35, barely got on the field, no touchdowns, one interception. The immediately following year, in 2018, this was the stat line for Patrick Mahomes. He attempted 580 passes, completed 383 of them, completing 66% of his passes for 5,097 yards, 50 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. Just for the sake of whatever, over Patrick Mahomes' last 2 years combined, he threw 53 touchdown passes. He threw 50 in his first season. He threw 25 interceptions over the last two seasons as well. I'm not saying that Patrick Mahomes is bad or anything like that. He's still phenomenal. We saw some big plays from him. This offense just hasn't hit that insane cylinder that it hit. And it's been a while now, I get that. But he threw 41 touchdowns as well in 2022, another 5,250 yards that year with 12 interceptions. It just hasn't quite felt the same these last couple years from Patrick Mahomes and that Kansas City Chiefs offense. Kind of felt that way again in this one. You can kind of see, I know Travis Kelce had the touchdown, but doesn't feel like he's quite as explosive. They just haven't been able to find the right group of wide receivers. We'll see when Rashee Rice comes back, if he can maybe help that a little bit. I'm not ready to stick the final stake in the Kansas City Chiefs here and say they're done, it's over, it's going a different direction or anything like that. Just saying it hasn't quite felt as like, before, when you went against the Chiefs, it's just like, good luck, you're going to have to put up 40-some points. Now it's like, yeah, you're probably going to be fine, and it's going to be an entertaining game, and you're going to be in it. And then maybe they come up with that magic at the end. It felt like maybe they were going to get a chance to do that against the Chargers in this one, but kudos to the Chargers. Big-time game. I thought Justin Herbert was fantastic from what I saw of him. Good Chargers team, and they're going to be one to be reckoned with. That NFC West, just even from that game, just watching that, That's going to be a really fun three-team race with the Chargers. I think the Broncos, the Chiefs, that should be a really fun division to watch this upcoming season. All right, let's get to our main topic for today, and that is our Super Bowl checklist. So as I mentioned, yes, the Green Bay Packers are contenders. Yes, they have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl this year. But just like any team, we could do this with all 32 teams. There's some things that you're going to need to go right. You're not just there. You don't trade for Micah Parsons and be like, job done, we're good, Super Bowl trophy, here it comes. No, there's still so much work to be done on this season. We are just in the very initial phases of figuring out who this team is, what they can do, and they have to continue to grow in a positive direction. And there's going to need to be signs of real significant growth through the course of this year if they want to be a champion at the end of the year. But I've got 10 things for you. It's not a list of 20 things that all need to go right in order for Green Bay to win a championship. I wouldn't even say that all 10 of these have to go exactly perfectly, but if you want to keep track of it throughout the course of the season, I think if these 10 things go well, you are going to be in a real positive chance to win a Super Bowl. And if they don't go well, like I say, you're probably going to be behind the eight ball. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Listen, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. With the addition of Micah Parsons, I have never been more hyped for football season. And not only should it be an epic season for Green Bay, but I'm looking forward to an even more epic season on Prize Picks. You better believe that I'm expecting a Micah Parsons sack right away against Detroit in week one. And I'll be keeping a very close eye on some other players this week as well, including Ja'Marr Chase, Baker Mayfield, and the newly engaged Travis Kelce. Now listen, Prize Picks is simple. Just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. One of the reasons I enjoy Prize Picks so much is their flex play feature, which means you can still cash on your lineup even if it isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Here we go. Number 1 through 10. No particular order, other than that we'll start with number one on my list. But number one is Jordan Love needs to be a top 10 quarterback. I don't think that's controversial. If he's 11th, could they win? Sure. But you get my point. He needs to be right smack dab in that conversation. Maybe even a little bit better. Maybe top 8 would be great. I would love to see him in that. I think he has every right to be in the top 7, 6, maybe even 5, but he has to be in the top 10. I think if you are in that second, third of quarterbacks, I think it's just going to be really, really difficult for this team to win it all. And Jordan should be. He's that talented. He's that good. He has the weapons. He's got the offensive coach, good offensive line. Yes, it's a tough schedule. I'm not saying it's not, but this needs to be a season for Jordan where he goes and shows out that he can be a consistent quarterback from week one through the end of the playoffs. But I need to see him be a top 10 quarterback. And I just think it gets so exponentially harder if you don't have one of the top 10 guys, which, by the way, is just basically the top third of the league. I'm not asking for some sort of miracle here where he's a top 4 quarterback or anything like that. I'm just saying top 10 feels like it needs to be a realistic expectation. As I mentioned before, it's not that every single thing on this checklist needs to go perfectly. If he ends up being 14th, but everything else goes great, you're still going to have a chance at this thing. But at the end of the day, Jordan is going to need to be consistent. He's going to need to be accurate. He's going to need to not turn over the ball. And we're going to need to see that playmaking ability both with his arm and with his legs. There is still work to be done. As I've said before, this to me is going to be the final barometer of like where Jordan Love is as a quarterback, who he is as a quarterback. We're going to find out, assuming he stays healthy this year, where is he in the pantheon of quarterbacks? Is he in that top third? Is he in the middle third? Hopefully he's not in the bottom third, but I think this is really going to truly define him. And I think if it's anything outside of the top 10, I just think it makes it really difficult because you're going to be going against top 10 quarterbacks all throughout the playoffs. And if Jordan's not one of those, you're just climbing an uphill battle. And that's not where you want to be. Number two, of course, this goes without saying, we're going to say it anyway. You have to avoid the catastrophic injuries and you have to avoid the bubonic plague. What I mean by that is you can't be that team that has the one injury that turns into another injury and another and another and another and another. And you're just so snake bit that you can't even compete anymore. There's always a couple teams like that every single year that just has every injury under the sun, can't get healthy. And it's over before it begins. They can't be that. And you have to avoid the catastrophic ones. The real key can't lose in players cannot go down. Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, Zach Tom, Tucker Kraft, Micah Parsons, Edrin Cooper, Xavier McKinney, Rashawn Gary, I'd probably even put in that list. You can't have the catastrophic injuries. You can lose, maybe a player or two on that list for a couple weeks, a few weeks here and there, and probably still survive it. But come playoff time, you need the core key pieces of your team, the ones that are going to get you across the finish line to be healthy in some real way. Or it can't be that, yeah, those guys are healthy, but the rest of the team is just decimated by injuries. All right. So can't have the catastrophic injuries, can't be snake bitten to the point where you've got, 10 of your 22 preferred starters out there. Goes without saying, but we need to say it anyway. Number three, I thought Matt LaFleur did a really great job. We all talk about Goody saying it's time for a sense of urgency and that the time is now to win championships, which was a beautiful thing. And I think he set the tone for the entire offseason and then followed it up by his moves all throughout this offseason in totality. But I thought Matt really did a great job of also setting the tone at the beginning of training camp, saying it's the details. We have to have attention to detail, and that's where Super Bowls are going to be won. You can't just do the big stuff, the flashy stuff, the things that are going to get you noticed. It takes all of the little tiny details when nobody's watching. It's not going to show up on tape. Even Dusty Evely and I are probably not, you know, clipping things that go into some of the little tiny minutiae of day-to-day winning in the NFL. It takes all of that stuff. It takes all the little extra things if you want to be extraordinary. That's the little lame saying of what's the difference between ordinary and extraordinary, that little extra. I'm never going to say that again, I promise you. But it is those little attention to detail sort of things. So to me, I need to see a team that is hungry to feast on those details. Tom Brady was the master of this. Just every little thing that he could find and pinpoint and be better at and exploit, he would find and he would do, and he would make sure that they would be better at it. And I think I want to see a team that is going out there and really cares about the minutia of the game and really cares about the little things that are ultimately going to get you over the finish line. If I see a team that has that attention to detail, that's not having the little false start penalties or the illegal procedures or whatever the case may be, any of those little things that, you know, all of it, right? That they're focused, they're locked in, and they care about the little things, that's going to tell me that this team is ready to go out and compete for championships. Number four, you got Micah Parsons. You traded away Kenny Clark. You didn't resign TJ Slayton. I need to see this run defense go out and show that they can be as good as they were or better than a season ago. It's a tough task. When you watched the Packers run defense in 2024, you saw a team that was focused on run defense. It was not by accident. Jeff Hafley came in last year and he basically said, we're stopping the run and that is job number one. And if they can do that again, then that sets you up to be successful with Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary and all the crazy exotic packages that Jeff Hafley is going to be able to show out there and the blitz looks and everything like that. But if you can't stop the run, it doesn't matter that you have Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary, Edgerrin Cooper, a crazy blitz package and tons of, you know, exotic looks. All of that goes right out the window, because if they're in third and one, third and short, anything like that, fourth and one, fourth and short, they're just either running the ball or they're going to be able to be multiple and you're not going to know what's coming. You can't just do obvious passing down stuff. You've got to earn the fact that they are in third and long and that you can go and do all the fun things that you want to do in those third and long situations. Run defense is going to be paramount. It always is. But with the loss of two big players on the interior, both literally and figuratively, it's going to be important that the guys like Colby Wooden and Carl Brooks and Devontae Wyatt, Nasir Stackhouse, Warren Brinson step up, but also that all that attention to detail we saw in 2024 doesn't go by the wayside. And in fact, you're even going to need more of it in 2025. Number five, as sick to my stomach as this makes me feel, it's going to take the special teams too. It can't just be the offense is great, the defense is great, the special teams is 29th overall again. And I've joked around and said, I will not trust the Packers special teams again until I see it as a final product for the rest of my life. I've been scarred and burned and, you know, betrayed over and over and over again. This is going to be the year they have competent special teams and actually believing it. And then again, they stab you right in the back. I'll believe it when I see it. I do think they have the special teams in place to be a successful special teams. I still have a little bit of concern over punt returner and what they do there. But kick returner, I think they're good. Kicker, punter, long snapper. I think they've got the coverage units on the outsides in punt coverage and on kick coverage. That's one I'm a little bit more interested to see. But I think they can be. But I don't believe it, because I'm never going to believe it again. And if they just have a really bad special teams, it's probably going to cost them at the most inopportune time, like it did against the 49ers in the divisional round, like it did against the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game, in a multitude of plays in that game. We can go on and on, but it's going to take the special teams too. I think we all feel pretty confident about what the offense could do. I think we all feel pretty confident about what the defense could do, but it's going to take the special teams holding up their end of the bargain and actually being maybe even better than competent if you really want to be a champion. So special teams has some work cut out for it. It has not gone great in, I don't know, forever. And fingers crossed, I guess, this is the year. But yes, it's going to take the special teams too. Number six is the swing states. No, this is not actually swing states. They're swing players, I guess. But in an election, the swing states are going to swing the election one way or the other. These players, to me, are going to swing the season one way or the other. There are a lot of young or maybe volatile players that could go in a variety of different directions. Maybe they could really hurt the team if they're not ready to play, or they could really help the team if they take the step in the right direction. This is kind of putting the develop and draft and develop. On the offensive line, Jordan Morgan and Anthony Belton, they're probably going to be called upon at some point. Are they going to be able to step up and play big time football when called upon? On the weapon side of things, Marshawn Lloyd, Luke Musgrave, Savion Williams, three undeniably talented players that I think all three of them at some point in their career are going to have big seasons or really impressive stints of their career. Can they do it now? Can they step up now? Can they get healthy in the case of Savion Williams and Marshawn Lloyd? And can they get the opportunities? And when called upon, can they be big time playmakers? Because they are oozing with potential, oozing with talent, but it is time for those. Well, Savion Williams has a little bit more of a runway here, but it is time to see them step up and take the opportunities when they're given to them, especially Marshawn Lloyd once he gets healthy. Luke Musgrave now is, you know, he's going, this is his third year. And Savion Williams, of course, really, really talented, has fought some injuries in the offseason, but there is so much talent in that trio right there. And if they can get more out of them now, it's just going to accelerate this you know, youth movement. It's going to accelerate what they can do with their weapons on offense. On the defensive line, LVN and Devontae Wyatt, goes without saying. I mean, the difference there, if you get first-round LVN, first-round Devontae Wyatt, and they live up to those expectations, whoo, does that defense start to cook? If not, you have options, right? At least you have Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary still. You've got, you know, maybe Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden on the inside. It's not completely lost, but man, does this defense swing one way or the other, depending on if you get great LVN and Wyatt, good LVN and Wyatt, average LVN and Wyatt, bad LVN and Wyatt, atrocious LVN and Wyatt. Which version of that do you get? I think it swings it in a significant way. At linebacker, Quay Walker, I would maybe add Tyron Hopper if he gets called upon at some point, but I think that we're a little bit of a ways away from that. So right now I'm going Quay Walker. Middle of the season last year, we saw some pretty incredible stuff from Quay. Everything else from him was a little bit just uneven. Never knew what you were going to get. That's a big time swing player in the middle of that defense. Carrington Valentine at corner. So much talent there. Seventh round pick, but plays so much better than that when he's on. But, you know, couple inconsistencies here. Got dribbled like a basketball in the playoff game last year. He just needs to be the guy that they can count on down in and down out. Instincts are phenomenal. The cornerback mentality is phenomenal. I think he's got good footwork speed. I think he has everything that he needs to be a very successful corner, but he has to go out and prove it and show that he can be that guy to step up when needed in the secondary. And then Javon Bullard. That's another one where second round pick, tons of talent. Is he a safety? Is he a slot? Is he a little bit of both? Can he step up and play a little bit more like a Javon Holland in his prime? Or is there going to be a player here like a Demaryius Randall where you give him a couple chances, it looks good at times, Darnell Savage, same thing, but it just never quite works out? That's a pretty big swing between somebody like a Javon Holland who can help you in a pretty significant way. That was a comp for a lot of people of him coming out of college, or a player like Demaryius Randall who just never worked in Green Bay, or Darnell Savage who is now basically a second stringer in Jacksonville. That again is a massive swing. So those swing players that could go one way or the other, and if they get a good chunk of those swinging positive, hello, more opportunities at a Super Bowl. And if they have more of those that swing in the negative, it makes it harder and harder. At least you're going to need to have, you know, the non-swing players at those positions really be healthy and step up, because they're not getting the depth from some of these players that maybe you were hoping for and expecting from. We'll be right back. What's going on, everybody? We finally made it to football season, and that means it's grilling season as well. There's nothing like a lineup of delicious burgers and steaks to enhance your game day experience. That's why this year I did not mess around, and I went right to Omaha Steaks for their amazingly tender meat for this upcoming weekend. I am legitimately drooling over them already. I've had Omaha Steaks on numerous occasions, and there's nothing better to throw on the grill than their USDA certified tender steaks that are melt in your mouth delicious. And the best part is they are currently having a huge sale, so you can save site-wide on omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an additional $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Trust me, take them up on this offer, use the code, and get some of their grass-fed, grain-finished beef, and just wait until you see the marbling on these things. You are going to be blown away. So get fired up for fall grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. That's an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. See site for details. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Pre-Alcohol. Now, ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself. But I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code PACKADAY at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code PACKADAY at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY. Number 7's pretty simple. Catch the damn ball. That's it. I don't have anything to add to it. You're an NFL professional player, and it is paramount that when you are called upon and Jordan Love throws the main thing in the game, the football, to you, that you actually catch it. Way too many drops a season ago. We didn't see that in 2023. I'm hoping 2024 was a big bizarro season from a catch standpoint and everything's fixed in 2025. It's another one I'll kind of believe when I see, but please, please, please catch the damn ball. Number 8 is face adversity head on. There's going to be some sort of crazy adversity at some point this season. It just always happens. You got to be able to face it. You have to be able to overcome it, and you have to come out stronger on the other side. You learn from the trials and tribulations that you have to go through. And that is usually true in life. And it's also usually true when it comes to, you know, team sports and having to go through it as a team. There's going to be something crappy that happens this year, whether it be injury or they go through a 3-game losing streak out of nowhere. There's going to be at some point where all the chips are in, everything's on the line, and they need to respond to it. Face it head on, come out the other side better, and make yourself sharpened into the Super Bowl winning champion that you can ultimately become. Without that, it usually doesn't take place. You just stay a big, dumb, blunt tool. I would rather have you go through that adversity, have it sharpen you, and make it so that you're more ready for those situations when they ultimately come up in the playoffs. Face it head on, be better because of it. Number 9, you may hate this, but it's true. You got to have a little bit of luck. You just have to have a little bit of luck. No two ways around it. Ball's got to bounce your way. It's an oblong sized ball that can bounce one way or the other, that you might need to have the other team hit the crossbar on a field goal, or maybe you need to hit the crossbar and have it go in instead of having it bounce out. You get the doink in the right direction. You know, maybe you have a referee that calls the call wrong, but it's in your favor. You can't have it go against you in a wrong way. Like, all these things can swing a game or a season in a pretty significant way. You just have to have a little bit of luck along the way as well. Jerry Rice fumbled. They didn't call it. It's bad luck. Sucky luck. If they did call it, who knows what would have happened for Green Bay that year. We can go some other ones that Green Bay was advantageous for, some that they were disadvantageous, but either way, you need a little bit of that luck to go your way. Number 10, I'm not happy about. It's lame and it's cliche and it's been overdone by this point, but there's a reason that I'm bringing it up. That's the all gas, no break mentality. I don't really care about the t-shirt, the lame saying, the cliche, whatever. I don't care about. But the what it means and how Green Bay needs to play, I need to see this team dictating terms. Far too many times they came out flat or unenergetic or just, I think, a little bit anxious, trepidatious, they just never seemed like in the big games that they were the ones that felt confident, that they were the hammer. Instead, it felt like they were the nail. I need to see them come out and say, no, you're going to fear us. It's all gas, no break for us. And you are going to fear what we can do to you, not the other way around. So I want to see this team be the one that is dictating, that is showing who's boss, that is all gas, no break, that has no fear, just absolutely zero fear whatsoever, and just goes for the kill from the beginning of the game to the end of the game and everything in between. That's what I want to see from this team. And if we start seeing that, I'm going to feel really, really good about their chances this upcoming year. Those 10 things. Jordan Love, top 10 quarterback. Number two, avoid the catastrophic injuries or the bubonic plague where just everyone's out, right? Number three, attention to detail. Number four, strong run defense. Five, it's going to take the special teams too. Number six, those swing players that could swing it one way or the other. Number seven, catch the damn ball. Number eight, face adversity head on and I guess come out better for it. Number nine, got to be a little bit lucky. Number 10, all gas, no break. Go out and do the dictating to the other teams. That's all I got for you today. That's my checklist to win a Super Bowl. Hopefully they can check a ton of these off throughout the course of the season. Thank you so much for being here today. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, and Dan Miller. I'll see you guys tomorrow for the Packers-Lions pregame show. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.